firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say?
Welcome to Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and I'm excited for you to hop aboard the Bible bus as we set out for Galatians chapter 2. Now, if you're just joining us, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you as part of our listening family that spans more than 160 countries and speaks more than 100 languages worldwide. Now, as we begin this journey, there are a few things that'll be helpful for you to know. First, our five-year tour of the Bible alternates between the Old and New Testaments, teaching from every book and every chapter in God's Word. Today, we're in the New Testament book of Galatians. But it really doesn't matter where you start. Just hop aboard and travel with us for 5 years, and you'll make it through all 66 books. How many people can say that? Second, we provide free notes and outlines to help you get the most out of each lesson, and they're available in a couple of different ways. You can request a free print copy of Briefing the Bible. That's a new resource that's a compilation of all 66 sets of notes and outlines. And then another way to get Briefing the Bible is to download the entire collection right now for free. Just visit ttb.org/briefingthebible for both options. Or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And if you want to download the notes and outlines for each book of the Bible separately, get them all at ttb.org/notes. Now, if you'd like to listen to Through the Bible on the go, we've got many mobile options for you. We've got apps and podcasts. There's YouTube, flash drives, and more. It's our goal to make Dr. McGee's studies available in a format that works for you. And our website's also a great place to catch up on messages or direct friends so they can listen with you. Just go to ttb.org/listen to find all your options. No matter how long you've been on the Bible bus, that's what Dr. McGee nicknamed this five-year study, we always love to hear from you. If there's a specific study or passage that we've studied together that's changed and challenged you, we'd love to hear about it. How's God used our studies together to grow your faith? Well, you can email that letter or response to us at BibleBus@ttb.org or write to us at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1, or leave a message on our Facebook page. Remember, we love to hear your stories. Here's one that we've recently received from Sandra in Mount Clemens, Michigan. I first heard your program on my local radio station when I realized it was a five-year program that went through the entire Bible. I was really excited. I tried to do a one-year plan without success. To me, your program just gives enough information to contemplate each day. And if I miss a day or want to hear something again, it's easy to go back. I find the presentation, Dr. McGee's perspective, and the interpretation of the scriptures really thought-provoking and timeless. I pray that God continues to bless this ministry as it has blessed me. Well, I'm so glad that you're joining us, Sandra. Thanks for praying as well. And we truly do believe that the prayers of faithful listeners like you are a big part in keeping the Bible bus moving forward each day. Next, we've got a letter from Jocelyn, who lives in Massachusetts. I love the Solar Bible Bus. I hopped aboard the Bible bus in the 90s on WEZE in Boston, but I stopped listening because of work conflicts. For a long time, I forgot it was on the air. However, I recently began listening to Dr. McGee's Sunday sermon and had a desire to listen daily. I've read through the entire Word of God almost every year for the last 2 years, but never had a complete understanding of it, so I went online and found the Solar Bible Bus. I have it with me when I commute, so my car has now become a Bible school because of this handy tool. I just wanted to drop a line and tell you guys how much I appreciate it. I'm going to also purchase the 5-year flash drive to get further understanding from the additional materials you offer on it. Thanks again, and please continue with this wonderful ministry. It is truly a blessing to me after all these years. Well, thanks for your letter, Jocelyn, and I'm glad that you're enjoying the Solar Bible Bus. Now, to find out more about the Solar Bible Bus and the Bible Bus flash drive that Jocelyn just mentioned, then you need to visit our online store at ttb.org. or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now it's time to begin our study, so let's pray and commit this time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that the teaching of your word today will open the eyes of the blind that they may be saved. and build up the faith of those whom you've already called to yourself. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, we come to the second division of this personal section of the Epistle to the Galatians. We saw last time the experience of Paul in Arabia, and there we saw the origin of the gospel. The Lord Jesus communicated it to him directly. Now the question arose, was it the same gospel that the other apostles had received also from the Lord Jesus? They had received it from his lips. Now in the first part of chapter 2 here, the first 10 verses, we see the oneness of the gospel and Paul's experience with the apostles in Jerusalem. And notice the first 5 verses that we have in this chapter here. He says, "Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and I took Titus with me also." And I think that's rather a master stroke here of Paul taking up with him this man, Titus, young preacher, because he was a Gentile. And the question's going to be at that great council, first council of the church in Jerusalem, and it concerned whether men are saved by the grace of God or whether they should come in under the law. And Paul had him there as exhibit number 1. He was not circumcised. Will he be forced to become circumcised? That's going to become, by the way, a very important question, and one that I would say is going to have to be answered one way or another. And so we find here that this is a very important matter. In fact, it's all important here. Now, I want us to look at this because what we have here is this experience of Paul with the apostles. He says that they have come up to Jerusalem to decide whether man must come in under the Mosaic law. Because, you see, the Judaizers were out, and they were saying the church in Jerusalem believes you should be under the law. Well, all of those men there, for the Jerusalem church was an all-Jewish church, they had certainly been under it. Many of them still went to the temple to worship, and, in fact, that must have been their meeting place. And there was nothing wrong with that. And I believe that this reference here now in verse 1 is the reference to the Council of Jerusalem, as recorded in the 15th chapter of Acts. When Paul and Barnabas came up there in order to get this church's word about the gospel. Now, notice what happened. He says, "I went up by revelation." Now, Paul wasn't about to go up there again and receive cold treatment. That is probably no reception at all, unless he felt he was in the will of God. So he said, "I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain." Now Paul recognized that if he was preaching a different gospel than the other apostles were preaching, then there was something wrong, radically wrong. And Paul was very willing to admit. He said, "If I was preaching a different gospel, then I'm the one that's wrong. I'd run in vain. I'd certainly been disillusioned. I'd been misinformed." And so he goes up and he communicates that gospel. And while he was there, he says, "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." Now, there were some that had come into the church out where Paul was preaching, and they came in there under false colors. They actually were not believers, apparently. They just came in to spy out the liberty they had in Christ. And they found out, here's this young Greek Titus, and Paul never compelled him to be circumcised. So what are they going to decide about him? And Paul says, "Well, They didn't compel him to be circumcised. And they didn't listen to the false brethren. Because if they had, we'd have been put right back under bondage. Bondage to the law and not freedom by the Spirit of God and freedom in Christ. Now, Paul says, to whom we gave place by subjection? Why, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul stood by his guns, and he said, no, sir. These false brethren said, why, this man Titus that's here meeting with the church, and it was practically all Jewish then, why, he's not even circumcised. And Paul says he's not going to be. And he's as much a believer as any of you are believers here. He is a real believer in Christ. And he's been saved, actually, by faith apart from the law. He's not about to follow any part of the law for salvation. Paul says we didn't give way to that at all. Now, this is a tremendous stand you see that he's taking. Now, notice what happens here. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Now, Paul says, we sat down with the apostles. At least he did, and I suppose Barnabas and Titus. They all sat down. And they communicated the gospel. They said, now, Brother Paul, we've been hearing these reports. Tell us what you're preaching. Paul told them. And they found out, at least Paul found out, that these brethren didn't have anything to add to him at all. He was preaching the grace of God. These brethren were preaching the grace of God. And this was the gospel that had been given to the apostles at the very beginning. I say to you that this was a very wonderful thing that has taken place yonder in Jerusalem. They find out that they're in full agreement. They're all preaching the same gospel. And this is a tremendous, very wonderful thing. Now let me move on. Verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto Peter. Now, what we have here is actually not two gospels in the sense that there was Peter's gospel and Paul's gospel. These men were in real agreement, by the way. There's no disagreement at all. The gospel of the circumcision means that it was the group he was speaking to. And the Gentiles here was the group that Paul was speaking to. Paul was called to go to the Gentiles. Peter was called to go to his own brethren. And the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter, and the uncircumcision was committed unto me, Paul says. Now he says, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And the proof of the pudding, of course, is always in the eating. And what results were they getting? Well, when Peter preached the gospel, there were quite a few people saved. When Paul preached the gospel, quite a few people were saved. They were both preaching the same gospel. Now, I believe that today the real test of any work is not promotion. The real test of any work is what results does it get? I think that God's people today ought to be very careful where you give, even. And I'll tell you why. If it's not getting results, why in the world give to it? And that's the reason we've said here before. You ought to give to the place where you receive your blessing. Is a church blessing you? You ought to support that church. Is a radio program blessing you? Then you ought to support that program. And there are a great many Christians today that are supporting the wrong things. They're getting no blessing from it. And the fact of the matter is, there are no results. The reason I share letters with you, I think I should. I'm obligated to. My only problem is, I wish I could share with you hundreds of others. My secretary brought in during the Christmas holidays, a sheaf of letters. Friends, I'd never be able. Now, I've been going through them, sharing some of them with you, but I just can't even touch it. We believe that we're getting results today, and if we weren't, I'd get off the air, because that's the only purpose, to give out the Word of God today. And if the Word of God's given out, it'll get results. And Paul says here, the proof of Peter's ministry was he was reaching the circumcision. The proof of my ministry, Paul says, is I'm reaching the Gentiles. That is the thing that was all important here to this man, you see. Now, he goes on and says here in verse 9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the Gentiles, and they unto the circumcision. Now, they would go to a different group, and Paul and Barnabas were committed to go to the Gentiles. Only they would, that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. And Paul came back later with an offering for the poor saints in Jerusalem, because that church had been persecuted, and it was in a sad condition. And Paul had helped do it, by the way, before he was converted, and that's the reason he wanted to bring back in his own hands the gift to this church. Why? Because of the fact that he had persecuted the church, and he wanted now to help them, and he was for doing that. Now, this is social service. If there's one thing that I suppose that we that are fundamental are guilty of, is the lack of real service in this particular area. James is very practical in this. He says, when a man comes among you and he's hungry, don't give him the gospel. Feed him first, then give him the gospel. I'm of the opinion that fundamental churches ought to be doing more to help folk. I have tried in Los Angeles now for several years to establish a work in South Los Angeles. We've had some success. We have a Bible training school down there that's doing a wonderful job, and with some of the most wonderful people I've ever met in my life, wonderful Christians. And I just thank God for them, and I wish that more could be done. But you know, it's difficult to get people today that are real believers in the Bible to get interested in doing that. Now, Paul says that there is this side to it. And the church there and the apostles said to Paul and Barnabas, I don't forget to remember the poor. That's not the gospel, but if you've been saved by the grace of God, you're going to remember them. And Paul says, I was forward. I wanted to do this. Now we come to the third experience of Paul. And this, again, friends, brings us to a very wonderful section. I love this section we're coming to. And this is the experience of Paul in Antioch with Simon Peter. The first experience was the experience of Paul in Arabia with the Lord Jesus Christ. The second was the experience of Paul with the apostles in Jerusalem. And now we have the experience of Paul in Antioch with Peter. Now, the church in Antioch, friends, was largely a Gentile church. It actually was a mixture. And we will not understand what really happened there unless we understand how the early church operated. Now, they had a love feast that they had in connection with the Lord's Supper. Paul has a great deal to say about it in 1 Corinthians, by the way. And the early believers came together for a meal. Then they celebrated the Lord's Supper. Now, when Gentiles were saved, it raised a problem. There was the Jews who had never eaten anything sacrificed to idols. Now, the Gentiles had been idolaters, and they were accustomed to get meat that was offered to idols, or they ate pork. It made no difference to them. They'd been brought up that way. Now, how are you going to keep from offending these people? Well, they established in Antioch two tables. One was the kosher table, the other was the Gentile table. Now, Paul ate at the Gentile table. He was a Jew, But he ate at the Gentile table because Paul had said, whether you eat meat or you don't eat meat, well, it makes no difference. Meat won't commend you to God. And so the thing is that Simon Peter came up to visit Paul up in Antioch. And I want to tell you, friends, it was a new experience for him because this man, although converted, he had never eaten anything unclean. You remember that's what he told the Lord down there on the roof, down in Joppa, before he went to the home of Cornelius. He said, "Why, Lord, you want me to rise, slay, and eat? I just never eaten anything unclean." And remember, he'd been a believer for some time, but he still followed that pattern. Now he came up to Antioch, and that was the Gentile table, and that was the kosher table. And so Peter came in and visited. Listen now to the way Paul describes it, verse 11. "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision." Now, what happened was this. Peter came up to visit Paul, and so when they came in to eat, well, Simon Peter naturally went over and ate at the kosher table, and Paul went over to eat at that, and he noticed that night that they had a pork roast over at the Gentile table. After the meal, why, Peter joined Paul after the meal when they went outside for a little walk, and he said, "Paul, I noticed you eat at the Gentile table." He said, "Yes." "Says, I noticed that you ate pork tonight." Oh, Paul says, "Yes." And Peter says, "Well, by the way, is it good? I never tasted it." Oh, Paul says, "It's delicious." And Peter says, "Do you think it'd be all right if I ate over there?" Well, the thing that Paul says, "Well, it's my understanding we're going to have some nice pork chops in the morning for breakfast." Oh, he said, "I think I'd like to come." And he came, and so he sat down gingerly, asked rather reluctantly, and took a pork chop, tasted it, reached over and said to Paul, says, "It is delicious, isn't it?" Paul said, "Yes." Says, "After all, under grace, you can either eat it or not eat it. Doesn't make any difference. Meat won't commend you to God." And so Simon Peter said, "I'll be here tonight. I understand that you're going to have some ham tonight, and I want to try that." And so that night, he starts rushing in. But he looks over, and he sees some of the elders from the church down in Jerusalem. They've come up to visit also. And Simon Peter played musical chairs. He went all the way around that Gentile table and went over and sat down at the kosher table like a little whipped puppy. And Paul saw that. What did Paul do? Well, here's what happened. Verse 13, "And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" You see that it was all right for Peter to go to either table. He could sit down and eat kosher or the other. But when he'd been eating at the Gentile table, and for fear of these brethren, he comes in and goes back. What he's saying is this. He's saying in substance and by act, he's saying that Gentile table is wrong. Friends, if it wasn't wrong in his thinking, he would have eaten that. But he didn't. And he's saying the Gentiles ought to all come over and eat at this other table. And that's wrong. Paul said in Christ, we have liberty. You can either eat meat or not eat meat. And that's the important thing. You know, there's so many people today, Christians, I think they're sincere. They try their best to put you through their little wicket gate. Well, I guess I'm rather stubborn. I always say to these folk, if I got to come through your little wicket gate, I'm not coming. I have a liberty in Christ. And that liberty is that he's my Savior. He's my Lord. I'm accountable to him. And he, by the way, may I say, I think he's a real dictator. I tell you, he wants me to bow to him, and I'm going to bow to him because I love him, and I want to serve him, and I'm not interested in your little wicket gate. Oh, what a tremendous thing This is right here. Our greatest opposition to the gospel today are these people that try to push you through their little wicked gate. Well, I'll have to leave off there today.
Well, that's all for us today. If you'd like to invite a friend to hop aboard the Bible bus and join us in our study of Galatians, or if you'd like to go back and maybe listen to today's study again, then you need to visit ttb.org. And if we can help you place an order for our solar Bible bus or Bible bus flash drive that includes Dr. McGee's entire 5-year teaching, give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Well, I'm Steve Schwetz, thanking you for joining us today and inviting you to come back tomorrow as we continue to make our way through the Bible.
Jesus made it home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.